Orale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin. Familia, it's the NFL Insider Series. We're continuing. We're getting a little Carolina on our mind on this one. But first off, I want to make sure you are going, when you're watching us on YouTube, if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure hit that thumbs up, hit that subscriber button. Make sure, you know, our numbers have been growing almost doubled since we started the NFL Insider Series. So keep it going. Keeps us growing. I'm going to keep getting great content coming your way. Got some great insiders like our amigo who's joining us right now. And Familia, also want to make sure you're going to underdogfantasy.com. When you go to Underdog, use that promo code Familia23 and you're going to get $100 on top of the first $100 you deposit. So dollar for dollar up to the first $100, you're going to get matched. And I mean, it's best ball season, Familia. This is really, really, really when the sharks start coming out. You know, all the casual players are coming out. Get in there, get your practice, and maybe you win some money. And who knows, if you get Best Ball Mania 4, you could get a real big bonus. So, Familia, I want to introduce our invitado, El Jefe, as I've called him more than once. I had the great pleasure of meeting him and his wife last year at the Fantasy Football Expo. It was just awesome. It was like in one of the breakout panels. I walk up and I'm like, you know, face to face for the first time. And it was just, it was fantastic. Our amigo, Jeff Hasley. He's a senior writer and content provider for Football Guys. He does graphic design for the Fantasy Doctors as well as video editing for them. And he's got his own Carolina Panthers podcast. I love his Twitter handle talks about, you know, Mets, Sabres, you know, Panthers. Did I miss anybody? The Bills, of course. So all of those. Mm-hmm. Welcome in, Jefe. Welcome. Bienvenido. Estás en tu casa. Thank you for joining us.
Muchas gracias. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm ready. I'm ready to talk about some Panthers. The offseason is just too long here. I want to get things going. I want to see some tackles. I want to see some sacks. I want to see some play action touchdowns. So yeah, it's July, right? So we got a couple months to go, but I'm looking forward to it. And of course, hanging out with you is always fun. It's a pleasure to be with you, and let's talk about Panthers as we break down your series here.
Well, it's a new day. You know, Frank Reich has come along. He's brought a brand new coaching staff. Took Thomas Brown from my backyard with the Rams. You got Jim Caldwell there. This new regime and getting the number one pick in the draft, landing Bryce Young. Does this look like the infrastructure that can really be, you know, build for a young quarterback?
Well, they're definitely building, and they are glad that they're able to build, because what they tried in the past was the Sam Darnold, the Teddy Bridgewater approach, the Baker Mayfield, and that just did not work. And of course, the head coach and Matt Rhule, which seemed to be a great hire when he was first brought on, but you know, hey, Nick Saban wasn't a very good head coach in Miami either. Now, I'm not saying that Matt Rhule is Nick Saban, but sometimes some of these college coaches don't necessarily pan out in the NFL. And I think Rhule is a good example of that, even though a lot of teams were, you know, kind of interested in him. I remember the Giants were kind of fighting for him too as well. And Carolina scooped him up and got him. And unfortunately, we won't be able to get those couple years back. But the tide has turned. Carolina is moving on. Frank Reich is their coach. We saw Frank Reich and how he developed Andrew Luck in Indianapolis. So he's been kind of labeled as a quarterback development type of coach. And when they were able to get that number one pick and make that trade in the offseason with Chicago to get the number one pick and select Bryce Young, I think it just absolutely opens up the door for Carolina's rebuild to take effect. And they still have some lingering pieces on offense and defense that are, you know, will continue, and you know, they can continue to grow in these veterans and be able to have a sensible, formidable team that they can add rookies and other pieces to, which they've done this season. So there's a lot of optimism. They're in the right division, I think, for an opportunity to even potentially even win the division. So there's a lot of growing optimism here in the Carolinas for the Panthers.
Yeah, and that to me is one of those things. If you can get the quarterback right, it makes so much of everything else better. I mean, it gives you a chance every week. And so let's talk about that guy, the young guy, Bryce Young. He's from our backyard down out here in SoCal. So I've been hearing about him for, it seems you wouldn't believe. I mean, I'm kind of like, is he really just that, you know, just 21? So, you know, I feel like I've been hearing about him for like 6 or 7 years, but yeah, just ultra talented, just such a playmaker. And I mean, underrated arm. As I told you before we started hitting record, you know, just I'm, you know, if the guy can play, and I look at him and I'm just like, man, I do like that. I just hope they put the infrastructure around him, and I think they do. What are you liking? And there was something you teased to me that I can't wait to hear.
So Bryce Young, to me, before he even throws a football, he's got the upper hand, in my opinion, because he's prepared. He's a guy that will be prepared for anything that's coming his way. He's already among the top quarterbacks in the league for preparedness. I completely agree with that. He knows things that most rookie quarterbacks don't. This is what's been said so far, and only OTAs. You know, we haven't even gotten to training camp yet, but he's got like 100% or close to it of the playbook in his head, memorized and ready to go. Already knows the audibles that he can use as well off of each formation and such. So he'll be prepared. We know that. Preparation and being prepared is one word that I could use to describe him. Another one is he's efficiently impressive. In college at Alabama, he had 165.0 quarterback rating, a 67% completion percentage, 8.8 yards per attempt at Alabama, which is second highest in Alabama history. He had 80 touchdown passes and only 12 interceptions. He is obviously he's shown what he can do in the SEC. Last year, or 2021 was his Heisman year. That was his big year. He had 4,800 something yards. This past year, he didn't have the same level of players. He didn't have Jameson Williams. He didn't have John Michi. He had guys like Jermaine Burton and Ja'Cory Brooks and Trayshawn Holden. And who? Right? Who are these guys? He still had 32 touchdown passes to 10 different receivers last year. So I see what he did last year at Alabama, and I see where the Panthers are this year with, you know, they lost DJ Moore, you know, but they have some options at wide receiver, DJ Shark, Adam Thielen, Jonathan Mingo. We'll talk about these guys, but I think he can make, he's efficient, and I think he can make the receiver room work to his advantage. And I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised by how well he does in that regard. And of course, how these receivers do as a result of him being under center. So he's prepared. He's efficiently impressive. And if I had to throw something else up there, it would be resourceful. He's able to make plays out of nothing. And there is a Hall of Fame quarterback that he reminds me of by the name of Fran Tarkenton. Now, Fran Tarkenton, he was coincidentally also 6 foot, 190 pounds. So if Fran Tarkenton can do it, Bryce Young can do it, right? We've seen how Young he'll scramble. Like Tarkenton was a scrambler. Young is able to make his way out of trouble and find the open man. When he rolls out or when he's forced to move out of the pocket, that's going to create seams. And he's good at understanding how to find these seams and find the open man. Here's a reason why I think that Hayden Hurst is going to be someone that we might be of interest in from a fantasy perspective this year. Someone who could creep into that top 15. Someone who you potentially use as a bye week filler. I don't see him as someone that you start every week, Hayden Hurst. But if he can kind of be that guy that Young kind of gravitates to and be his hot read in situations like that, you know, I can see that happening. So I have growing optimism for Carolina, and offensively, it all stems from Bryce Young.
And you know what? And he's QB 25 right now, so he could be had cheap in super flex leagues, and obviously in best ball. I keep hearing people talking about, I've done it myself, where I'm, you know, targeting him as a second or as a third quarterback in best ball drafts, because there's going to be there's going to be occasional blow up weeks for him, and might be three or four, but hey, you know what? You don't have to set the lineup. So that's what I love the Fran Tarkenton. I can see it in my head. And you know what? I know Fran Tarkenton, his Pro Football Reference page says 6 foot. I know those things were probably padded. He's probably 5'10", 5'11", in real life.
Yeah, probably could very well be, but I really like that comparison myself as well. And if he could be, you know, a percentage of what Tarkenton did, you know, that's a Hall of Fame career. So maybe we're looking at something here for Bryce Young, but so far so good in Carolina with Bryce Young.
Well, you know what, let's talk about those receivers real quick, because you know, we talked about, you mentioned, you know, Adam Thielen coming over, that veteran presence who's very necessary. And you talked about Hayden Hurst as well as being kind of like that safety valve. DJ Chark had his moments in Detroit last year. And Jonathan Mingo has got, you know, it's gotten a little, you know, I've had a couple people on who really have raved about him, both after seeing him in the Senior Bowl, as well as looking at his tape from his final season. You know, how do you see this wide receiver room just kind of shaping up?
I don't know if there is a top 40 fantasy wide receiver on this team. I'm not certain of that, but collectively, I think they can do some damage. We saw in 2015 when Cam Newton took the Panthers to the Super Bowl, who did they have? I mean, they had Ted Ginn, they had Philly Brown, they had Jericho Cotchery, they had Greg Olsen, right? But I mean, a bunch of receivers who were kind of in this same frame here of not necessarily a top 25 type of receiver. They just didn't have that. And I see that here this year with this group. But in my opinion, Jonathan Mingo's athletic profile far exceeds any other receiver on the Panthers roster. But his lack of experience may not translate to immediate success, but the Panthers coaching staff that we talked about earlier, the veteran presence of Adam Thielen, among others, that might be enough to develop Mingo a little bit faster than he otherwise would. And he definitely has the speed and breakaway ability to make plays after the catch. And he has a knack for making those tough contested catches that we've seen on highlight reels. You know, one thing about Mingo, though, is he never really put it together at Mississippi. He showed periods of brilliance, you know, without a consistent, complete college resume, I guess, if you will. But I think that Young is a student of the game, and I think he's able to unlock Mingo's full potential. And the question is going to be when, though. How soon will he be able to, you know, be that type of receiver? But he's the future of what the Panthers want to do. And he's got that A.J. Brown-like skill set. And a lot of people think it's a question of when, not if, with Mingo. So there's some meat on the bone there. It just needs to get unlocked. And hopefully Bryce Young is the key to do it.
So I got one nugget that I remember from doing a show with Scott Barrett. Back in early May, right after the NFL draft, and we talked about Jonathan Mingo, who he went back and he looked at him from the second half of last year, and one of the things that he uncovered was the fact that Ole Miss lost its starting tight end, and its tight end room was just decimated, and Mingo was actually called in to kind of, you know, be a blocking, to do more blocking in the back half of the season. So, you know, his production went down because of that. So that's why it kind of like helped, made him just kind of like raise him up. The guy didn't complain about having to do the dirty work, which really shows, like, you know, a level of maturity that maybe is going to be a big thing for him. So I'm with you. When I've got him on, when his name is right there in a range for a dynasty draft, he's coming up. Thielen, I, you know, it's, I think he's still got a little something left. I mean, he's not gonna break anything away. But I love the veteran presence. Could he still be kind of like that slot receiver who kind of commands some targets?
Well, and Thomas Brown's offense with the Rams and Sean McVay's offense, of course. I mean, there was Cooper Kupp, who was a key contributor. The Panthers don't have a Cooper Kupp on the team, I don't think, but Adam Thielen could at least provide some of those routes and that opportunity there. Like you mentioned, you know, he's older. He's 32, I believe. Yeah. 32 is pretty old for a wide receiver. But I mean, we saw guys like Larry Fitzgerald play into his late 30s. Does he have those same genes, that same ability, that same desire and want? He chose Carolina. He was pleased that he was able to find a partner in Carolina. So I think that his head's in the game. I think he is excited to be a part of this team. And sometimes you don't have that, especially with veterans who come in as on a contract where they're just trying to extend their retirement and get their last check, right? I don't see that with Thielen at all. I see him being a coach on the field and someone who can move the ball. Is he going to have 80 receptions? Probably not. That's not what I see him doing. But he could still have games where he has, you know, 4 or 5 catches and a touchdown and is a key contributor to the team. I see that. I just don't necessarily see it consistently.
You know, one other thing you mentioned Thomas Brown coming over from the Rams. Well, Kevin O'Connell, who was Thielen's head coach last year, also mm-hmm. came over from the Rams. So I think he could be an important just player to you know, getting Mingo and Chark just up to speed. So I think it's real good. You mentioned Hayden Hurst. Is he kind of like your top option in the tight end room?
I see Hayden Hurst. Oh, you have to look at what he also did with Cincinnati too. 50 yes. catches. You know, he's capable of doing that. He can provide that layer in the offense. He can provide that hot read if necessary. I think that he will be someone that we're going to be more impressed with than disappointed with. I could see him from a fantasy perspective being someone on your bench who you're looking at, oh, wow, I could potentially start him. Wow, he had another double-digit game. Wow, my tight end's on bye. Let me put Hurst into my lineup. Kind of like that. I don't see him as an every-week starter, but he has the potential. And, again, it all kind of stems from Bryce Young and what he's able to do on offense. I think Young is the catalyst that's going to elevate this team into an area where people aren't necessarily expecting them to be.
I want to jump over to the running backs real quick. And actually one guy in particular, Miles Sanders, had a big season with Philadelphia last year, running behind that fantastic offensive line. He was caliente all season, you know, scoring double digit touchdowns, over 1,000 yards, not used much in the passing game, but you know, I think there is that video clip going out there that's made the rounds through social media about the coach, you know, the coaches and talking, you know, people talking to him about looking at that, you know, those 50 receptions. Is he shaping up like a 3-down back this year on a team that, you know, Bryce Young, he could be a safety valve out of the passing game for him?
Yeah, I completely see him being a high volume type of running back that the team is going to gravitate around. Carolina was 10th in the league in rushing yards last year. And, you know, Sanders coming over, he again, just like Thielen, he's happy and excited to be here. The addition of Deuce Staley as the running back coach is also a key contributor there. Because of his time that he knew Staley in Philadelphia. I think Sanders is going to be a guy who gets like 60-65% of the carries. Chuba Hubbard, Raheem Blackshear are the other running backs that I think are also going to get some shares and some carry volume. But Sanders by far, in my opinion, is the running back, is the fantasy back that you should target, in my opinion, as like an RB2. I really like that for him, and he'll be the top fantasy producer for the Panthers in terms of their backfield. I completely see that. I want to share something with you that you might not be aware of. When Carolina traded Christian McCaffrey last year, week seven on, Carolina led the entire league in rushing yards from running backs.
That
sink in for a second, right? And
yeah, Deonta Foreman had a couple of big games in that period. Yes.
And the offensive line that Carolina has, all five of their starters are returning. So that's another feather in their cap in terms of what their potential is this year as a rushing offense. And we saw what Frank Reich did with Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis. Sanders could be that guy. And I'm going to say something here, and you might take this like, whoa, or like, I don't know. Miles Sanders this year could be the next version of Josh Jacobs. He could be this year's Josh Jacobs.
Yes.
You know, a guy who was like 20th, 22nd, maybe in terms of the running back board last year, heading into drafts, fantasy drafts. Sanders is kind of right in that line. And I could totally see him with, I mean, the volume is likely going to be there. We know that he's talented. They've already talked about him being a threat as a receiver as well. He's had 50 catches before in his career, of which Frank Reich was a part of the team, I believe, when he did it. So there's a lot of, again, a lot of meat on that bone that we can talk about for Miles Sanders. But yeah, I think he could be this year's Josh Jacobs.
Yeah. And, you know, he got paid. So it's like, you know, they didn't pay him to sit down. They didn't pay him to, you know, take. So I completely agree. I think right now he's going off in underdog drafts. He's going off as the RB20. So at number 67 overall. So it's just like, I love that pick. I love that range for him. I think he's a bargain. I would even look at, you know, as an RB2, I might even look at him as a, you know, as my anchor. If I'm going really wide receiver, you know, wide receiver and, you know, maybe you elite quarterback. That. Yeah. I think it's just, I like him. I like him a lot. I'm glad you gave me confirmation bias, right? On this one. You confirmed what I've been thinking of. So, you know, you mentioned the offensive line is a group that, you know, that became a, you know, just a really important unit for them, was close to the top 10 in PFF rankings by the end of the season, coming in right in the middle at about number 16. I believe it's number 16 right now. Yes. In their preseason rankings. But, you know, when you look at him, when you look at that group, it really does set up as a formidable group for them, right? Again.
I think so. And their left tackle, Ike Ekwonu from NC State, he was their first round pick last year. As a rookie, he did fairly well. He wasn't great, but sometimes we don't see greatness in left tackles and right tackles the first year. But he did well, and there's a lot of talk about him being someone who's going to take the next step forward. I mean, he's just, from his pass protection and from his run blocking ability and skills, I can see him being a player who's just going to take that next step. Taylor Moten, of course, at right tackle is strong. Austin Corbett at right guard. Brady Christensen, left guard. Bradley Bozeman, who they re-signed, is the center. And they also drafted Chandler Zavala, also from NC State. So he gets to play with his NC State teammate, Ekwonu. I don't see Zavala starting, but, I mean, he's someone who can enter that rotation of, you know, offensive line starters, if indeed that comes to fruition there. But it's exciting. I like their offensive line coach, James Campen, who is someone that is known around the NFL as an outstanding offensive line coach. And I think that the line is starting to become ripe. And with the line being ripe, and with Frank Reich knowing how to utilize that offense, and now with you know, weapons and such, and a quarterback who can be efficient and figure out what needs to be done in order to move the ball and make plays, and it's all coming together. And so the offensive line is a really big piece of that glue.
I think so. So quick look at the other side of the ball right now. Mm-hmm. you know, got some playmakers in the back end, but how's this group shaping up? I mean, let me see, I just had it up for me. The Panthers are number 23 in passing yards allowed last year, and were not the greatest
15. In terms of defense, you know, like in that 19th, 20th, 22nd, 23rd, depending on what you're looking at. Total yards, passing yards against, rushing yards, not necessarily great. The year before, they were pretty good. I think they were fourth in the NFL in pass defense in 2021. But, you know, things just kind of changed a little bit in 22. There's some injuries. Brian Burns, of course, is the big guy there, the sack artist, the pressure guy. And then they have a combination of they've got Marquise Haynes, who is kind of coming into his own. Itur Gross Matos. They've got Derek Brown at defensive tackle as well. You know, they've got some players, and they have some guys who have potential. I wish that they had like one more type of edge rusher that they can add to the team. You know, I was thinking like a Yannick Ngakoue, and it's still possible that they could add someone, but I think that they're missing that other piece to the puzzle against along with Brian Burns. And for them going from a 4-3 to a 3-4, or at least a, you know, kind of a combination, which we're seeing more and more of in defenses in the league, you know, guys like Frankie Louvu, who is a linebacker, who also is going to get some pressure as well. Adding him in there, I need to see a little bit more defensively. So I'm, and I think that the defense is really what's going to take this team and lift them up to new levels. How many times have we seen rookies that reach the playoffs, rookie quarterbacks, excuse me, that reach the playoffs that kind of phase out and they fizzle, right? The ones that don't, the ones that actually have a chance and the ones that might win their first playoff game, those are the guys who have a strong defense, right? We saw this with Brock Purdy last year. Who's another one?
Oh, Dak Prescott, his rookie year.
Yeah, Dak Prescott. That's another good one. Russell Wilson, too, when he first started. Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco. They all had good, strong defenses. Mark Sanchez with the Jets. Remember, he won a couple playoff games. Those were strong defenses. Carolina needs to turn up their defense, in my opinion, in order for this team to kind of get to that next level where they need to be. And if they can't do that, then it might be a little bit slower ascension to the summit for the Panthers than this year. So I think their defense is a huge determining factor on the success of what the team does. And I mean, Bryce Young could hit it out of the park offensively, but if defensively they can't really hang, that's going to cause some problems, especially if they have to play some tough teams in later in the season, in the postseason, right? So, defense. I like their secondary. I like the fact that J.C. Horn is kind of the Patrick Surtain that Evereaux had in Denver. Dante Jackson is a capable cornerback. Jeremy Chinn, one of my favorite safeties in the league, who can also play. He can play corner. He can play linebacker. I like that. They added Von Bell. They have already have Xavier Woods. Oh, they added Eric Rowe, too, from Miami. And then they drafted this guy out of Florida State, Jamie Robinson, who – he's not getting a lot of pub right now, but he's someone that is going to make tackles. He's not going to miss on that. He's a aggressive type of player and tackler. I didn't even mention DJ Johnson, their third round draft pick from Oregon, who has the size, has the speed. He just has not quite put it together as of yet, but you know, the pieces are there. I think he's someone who could develop into somebody. I don't know if that's going to happen this year, but I like his athletic profile and where he is in terms of what he can represent for this team going forward. So there's a lot to like with the Panthers. The question is, can they put it all together?
Yeah, I think so. And you know what? Even if they don't put it together, maybe we'll find out if Bryce Young can get into some shootouts. And exactly. we love that for fantasy. We definitely love that for fantasy. So, oh, mi amigo, this is awesome. This is awesome. So I want to close up with, as always, love to close up with something fun. We were talking about off air. We were talking about Carolina pulled pork tacos. But any recent discoveries that you've had or recent favorites?
Oh my gosh, it seems like there's always a new restaurant that I want to either go to or have been to, but I love a nacho plate with Carolina pulled pork.
Oh, yes.
Barbecue. You know, you dress up your nachos with a little barbecue that it hits every time. Tacos as well. I mean, there's just a lot of places that you can go to around here. Pizza is also kind of making its way, and there's a couple pizza places that I like that have all different kinds. You've got your New York style, your Chicago style, your Detroit style, your grandma style, all these different types of pizzas that are available. Man. So I'm a big, huge pizza guy. So is my wife. Pizza is like her favorite food. So there's a couple places that my sister has told me about. She's like, oh, hey, we got to go here. You're going to love this. This is really right up your alley. This is your wheelhouse. This is the pizza that you've told me that you wanted. So and I hate to say this, but I don't remember the name of the place that she mentioned. Otherwise, I'd say it. I'd give a plug. But it's somewhere up in Belmont, North Carolina, which is not that far from here.
Oh, love it. Love it. Well, do me a favor. I'm going to plan to see you in Canton and just can't wait to see you. But man, my friend, oh, this has been awesome. This has been awesome. Please feel free. Plug anything you want.
Oh, wow. I would say just, you know, check out footballguys.com. I'm doing a lot of work there with rankings, of course, you name it, rankings, rookies, obviously standard PPR, IDP, best ball. I'm providing my rankings there as well as others too. You can check out the staff rankings and use those. Plus we add comments to the players. So if you're looking at the rankings and you're like, well, why is this guy ranked 14th and you have him 22nd. Well, this is why, because we could put a little comment next to that and we can share our thoughts on why we don't think that player is good or not as good as what other people have it, or the opposite. This is why I have whoever Bryce Young as the quarterback 16 or 17. This is why. And you can kind of explain what your thoughts are on that. So doing that, there's a bunch of collaborative pieces that Football Guys does that I also contribute to. So look out for that. You've got your valuable players, your deep sleepers, your overvalued players that we send out every year. That's a really big hit for our viewers. Fantasy doctors too. We've got an injury guide that's coming out here in the middle of July. So in the next couple of weeks, that'll be live. And definitely something to check out. There's a lot of information about injuries, but also just fantasy in general too. So it's not just injuries. It's even though that's a big piece of it, because you want to know, and this is something that you can't necessarily find at other places. In fact, the research that we did to compile this information is really hard to find. I mean, it's hard to find high school or college that's not in your big conference type of schools. It's hard to find some of that information, but you know what? Our staff, Dr. Jesse Morris, he's able to locate that stuff. It's amazing what he can come up with in terms of research. So that's always good and important. It's good to know guys like Tajay Sharp, had two ACL injuries. And that was, I think, not necessarily public knowledge until halfway through the year. And I think Jesse was a big reason for why that became something that was made aware. So there's, just stuff like that. Who is at most risk for being hurt? Last year we had a risk assessment or a risk score. You know who had the highest risk score of every player last year? Tua Tagovailoa. And guess what?
Oh,
he got hurt. And, obviously that's a big thing. Now, if you would have seen the injury guide last year and saw that Tua had a 7.2, something like that injury score, you might've thought, maybe not. I mean, and in terms of where to draft him or if you want to draft him at all, But I mean, when Tua plays, he's great, right? Things go well. The Dolphins offense really kind of gels. But if he can't play, shoot, that's you're stuck with who do they have? Mike White.
Mike White.
Skylar Thompson in the playoffs against Buffalo. That was an ordeal. But still, anyway, so the injury guide, it has a lot of stuff. I'm not really doing it enough justice, but check it out. It'll be coming out. What did I do with that? I kind of helped put it together. Not necessarily the content, but the design of it and the layout. So that was my contribution as far as the fantasy doctors. Wow, I've talked a lot of time about that. Sorry, I didn't mean to I didn't mean to keep babbling.
But you know what? You cannot, you know, minimize the injuries, the injury factor, injury history, and just I think it's to me it's one of the most fascinating things. So I love it. I love it that you're working with them. Yeah, I got to meet Dr. Jesse Morse, and I really enjoyed spending some time with him back in February at the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association, and filled me with some nuggets that I've kept in my mind since then. So, oh, mi amigo, this has been awesome. This has been awesome. So I so appreciate you coming back and enjoying. And again, can't wait to give you a big hug in Canton. Also, I want to make sure, familia, one more plug. Follow Familia FFB on YouTube. Just hit that subscribe button. Set those notifications. You're going to get notified when great pieces just like this interview are showing up. Also, make sure you're going to underdogfantasy.com. And when you use the promo code FAMILIA23, you get matched up to the first $100. And hey, you can find me at Jorge Martin 17 on Twitter. Everywhere else, it's FAMILIAFFB. And also, if you want this on audio, make sure you can get it on Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you to our amigos over at Spotify for Podcasters for putting this out there. So once again, muchas gracias to our amigo El Jefe, Jeff Hasley. And thank you, everybody. Muchas gracias for joining us. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.